As thousands of well-equipped U.S. soldiers pour into Haiti, there is an increasing concern about the militarization of the country, supporting the soldiers and not the people. Why is that?
I think it's absolutely clear that there has been a very heavy militarization of the humanitarian response to the problems in Haiti. And I think the militarization choice is a very, very unfortunate one and reinforces the absolutely shameful role that the United States has played in the 200-plus years of Haitian history, where our responses have often been military rather than humanitarian. But this is, the militarization goes hand in hand with our decision not to partner with the people of Haiti in this humanitarian response. And that is a political response, but it's also sort of a paternalistic response, you know, that reflects United States values, that sees Haiti as a backward country and the people as backward. And therefore, if something is really going to be done, then we can't worry about democracy. We can't worry about consulting with people. We just have to go in there and make decisions and implement those. And when we make decisions unilaterally and implement them unilaterally, there's the feeling that we need military to be able to do that. And I think it's a big mistake. I think certainly the people in the military themselves are happy to be there and helping people to the extent that they can. But it doesn't look good, it doesn't sound good, and I don't think that it is good for the United States to essentially take over the decision-making in Haiti, even when confronted with this terrible disaster.
So what do you think we can do to change that?
The people of Haiti have communicated that they want to be partners and they want to be decision makers in deciding how the humanitarian relief is going to be put on the ground, who's going to make the decisions and the like. And that interest in participating in the decisions about your own community is a very deeply held human right that all of us share. And the United States, after 9/11, we would not have tolerated another government coming in and telling us that because the infrastructure was knocked down and there was a serious setback for the fire department and the police department in New York, that Canada was going to take over those decisions about what happened there, nor would we have tolerated it with the response after Katrina or other natural disasters. And the people of Haiti have the same feeling.
Bill, you're a native New Orleanian, and you were there when Hurricanes Katrina and Rita hit. Now, I know there are stark differences between the two tragedies, but I also know there are some similarities playing out, too.
There are a lot of similarities between what happened after Katrina and what's happening in Haiti, and the people along the Gulf Coast are very clear about those and have been speaking out. Their voices have not really been covered too much, but the same sort of response even happened along the Gulf Coast. There were a lot of people who wanted to help out, but the U.S. government wanted to secure the entire area before letting volunteers come in, and as a result brought in 40 to 50,000 troops and law enforcement people to secure the area. There was the similar media portrayal after Katrina of the constant looping of the images on TV of people looting, and we see that in Haiti with the constant replaying of young kids with machetes or people pushing each other aside, tearing each other aside to try to get water or food. There are some real similarities in terms of outsiders making decisions, militarization of the response, blaming the victim, and in a sense demonization of the victim so that they're not quite the same as the rest of us. And that's a very disturbing view of people in trouble.
And what do you think we can do differently this time around?
There has to be some accountability to the local community in the response to a humanitarian crisis. And that accountability can't come a month or 6 months or a year or so later. It has to be from the very beginning that people who are coming from the outside have to reach out and partner with the people on the ground, because ultimately it is a responsibility of the people on the ground to help themselves, and it's our job to help give them the tools to help themselves. It's not our job to come in there and make decisions about what their country is going to look like or make unilateral decisions on who's going to get aid and who's not.
Having lived through Katrina and the slow rebuilding of New Orleans yourself, what do you predict for Haiti and the Haitian people?
I think there is going to be years and years and years and years and years of challenge and suffering for the people of Haiti. I know one of my friends there said, "Our Haiti is no more," and he was despairing about even the ability of his four-year-old child to be able to go to school, to be able to have a life, and he said that he thought it would be 10 or 15 years before they got Haiti back in the shape that it was before the earthquake hit. And as your listeners know, there was an awful lot of challenges at that time. So I think unless there is a dramatic change in what we are seeing, I think Haiti is going to be facing incredible, incredible physical, mental, and community and country-based challenges for years and years.
Bill Quigley, the legal director of the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York, thank you for taking time out to speak with us.
Thank you, Tina, and I appreciate your interest and your focus. You always keep the focus on social justice, and this is a great social justice challenge and an educational opportunity for all of us, so thank you.